Blog Talk Radio.
We're gonna lift this one for the kingdom.
To everything.
Praise the Lord.
God again pass by them anymore. Praise God. If we begin to see that God was very unpleased, if you look at the whole of Amos, it talks about how these preachers were in the house and how they were living any kind of way, and it reminded them of how he judged Sodom and Gomorrah and all the sinful things that they had done. And so God is saying now that I'm setting the standard up. The standard has already been set. I'm showing you the standard. I'm showing the standard. Whoever's on this side of the standard, amen, will be saved. And whoever's on this side, I'm not going to pass them up anymore. So you know that in the Old Testament, the children of Israel, even now, they celebrate the Passover because God overlooked those that were covered by the blood of the Lamb. Praise the Lord. He overlooked them. He said, listen, I'm going to set a standard. I'm going to set a plumb line, and I'm no longer going to pass them up. Whoever's on the wrong side of that plumb line, glory to God, they're going to have to face judgment. Now, we think about a plumb line, amen. Sometimes I've heard the preachers preach, who moved the plumb line, praise the Lord. And I was very curious what they mean by plumb line. But God has shown me, amen, in the infinite of his wisdom, that the plumb line is how they recognize that they were building a great statue, that the plumb line would go from one end to the other end where they were building a wall. And it was a string or a cord, and they would pull it tight, and they would build the wall around the plumb line in order for the building to be erected straight and go in a straight line. So if the plumb line was moved, you wouldn't notice it at the beginning because you're building at the beginning and all you see is what's in front of you. But as time went on and you look back on it, you recognize that the building was a little off, and therefore it would not make the shape or the erection that it has to go vertically that it's supposed to. So the plumb line was a very important tool when you wanted something to be erected properly, when you wanted it to have all of the standard foundation that needed to be laid. You had to make sure that the plumb line was straight and that you built around the plumb line and did not deviate from it. Amen. So when we think about the plumb line, glory to God, the plumb line in the lives of the Christians is the Word of God. The plumb line is God's Word, and God's Word is true, and it will never change. When we think about people, amen, and how that we are in this society and this thing, it seems that we've been in a position, a place where, like the old preacher said, that it seems that somebody has moved the plumb line. And I couldn't tell, amen, in my generation when I'm looking at myself today whether it was moved or not. But when I look back and see how far we've gotten off course, when I look back and see how things have changed so drastically in the body of Christ, I recognize that somewhere down the line that we have deviated. Somewhere down the line, we step to the side, glory to God, and we find ourselves getting off track, amen. And I'm not talking about the world. The Bible says that the world is going to get worse and worse, and things are going to happen in this world, and they're not turning toward God, but away from God. So I don't expect the world to be the thing that it used to be. We used to live in a world where everybody felt it was right to go to church, so I'm not talking about the world. And we used to live in a world where everybody felt like that you seemed to be nice to your neighbor. And in a world where it seems like that, we should be respectful to those that have authority over us. So we know we're not living in that day and age now. So I'm not really bothered by that because the world is going to be the world. But what I am bothered by is it seems that the church now has let down the standard and we've gotten far off. No longer does it seem like that we are the light of the world. In fact, if I can say this, it seems like that we're going towards the light of the world. Praise the Lord. We're not the light in the world. We're going towards the light of the world. Amen. The Bible says that Jesus, when he came, amen, and that he was the light of the world, and that we should follow after him, and he showed a pattern of good works. You know, I look back and I think about the hippie days of the 60s and the 70s. It seems that free love and drugs and live free and do what you want to do. Those people that live in that day are now our senior citizens. So it's a wonder why not the generation just under them, but the next generation that we see experiencing things now are where they are. Confused, scared, afraid, rebellious, because we saw that generation take off the standard, praise the Lord. We saw that generation. We got people that are 70, 80 years old that say, it's my thing, do what you want to do. We got people that are 60, 70, 80 years old that are going out and protesting against God's word and God's law, because they were in that generation in the 60s and 70s where anything goes. And now we are reaping the repercussions of what is going on in that day and age. Because someone had moved the standard. Somebody had went away from the things of God. And because of that, we find ourselves in a place where it seems that we're in a strange land, that we are far. And I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about the people of God. It is very seldom that you're able to find a person of God that is holding out for holiness and righteousness. Most people that are saved, or say that they're saved or profess salvation, they have some vices in their life that they're not willing to get rid of. They'll tell you things like, well, you know, God knows my heart. I'm talking about Christian folk. They'll tell you things like, well, yeah, that may be true, but all of us sin and fall short of the glory of God. But who's striving toward the things of God? Who's walking in the omniscient and oration of who God is in their life and allowing them to speak to their heart so they can go out and minister to those that are lost? Listen, if you need salvation, if you need saving, if you're drowning in water, how are you going to save somebody else? The Bible says, if the blind cannot lead the blind, for they will all fall into the ditch. So when we find ourselves in a place of position where we begin to compromise the word of God and the things of God, then we also find ourselves not being that meek in life so that others can be saved. I tell you what, it's a strange day when we cannot follow after our elders for a pattern of holiness. It's a strange day when we see them behind closed doors that they have more vices in their lives than we do. We've made up our mind. We've picked up our cross. We'll follow after Jesus. Paul said we follow him and he follows Christ. But when we follow them too far, we begin to see things that are unfavorable. And church folk, and people say they love the Lord, and people that have been going to church longer than you went to church, and been praying longer than you been praying, and go to the Bible front and back, but they're not delivered from anything. They're living with their struggles. They succumb to them. They say, you know what? I tell you what, I know God loves me and I love him, but you know what? I tell you right now, you better recognize that God is calling for people that is pure and unadulterated. God is calling for people that love him purely because he is God and willing to pick up their cross and follow after him. One thing about this world, we don't want to deny ourselves anything. I mean, in the church or the world, we want to have it all right now. We don't want to suffer anything. We don't want to go through nothing. We don't want to be challenged. We want God to move every mountain and make every mountain low and flat and put ourselves in a position where we're kings and queens, but we don't want to work. But the Bible says, let us not be weary in well-doing. Well-doing. God's doing. God's way. God's will, to not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we don't faint. But we cannot pull the plumb line. We cannot change the standard. Our measurement is not of people. We can't say, well, I'm living better than that person, so I'm more saved than them. No, the Bible says that our measurement is with Christ. We have to be Christians or Christians or Christ-like followers and disciples of God. How? Through the wisdom of the Holy Ghost. Through the power of the resurrection. See, we're no longer ourselves. I don't say, well, you know what? Well, we all sin. But the Bible says, sin doesn't reign in your body anymore. Now you're able to live holy because of the Holy Ghost, the power of God that rests on the inside of you. Now we're able to live, move, and have our being in him. No longer do we have to be of these physical elements that are succumbing to the things of this world. We're supposed to be a standard. The Bible says, do not conform to this world, nor the things of this world. But we're supposed to be the image of Christ, showing the world to come out of darkness and be according and loving with the marvelous light. God wants us to be an example. But it starts with us, church folk. We got to get ourselves together. We have to repent and turn away from the things that God does not want us to be a part of and be holy, for he is holy, thus says the Lord. Amen. And this is Pastor Steve Dinwiddie. I love you. I appreciate you. I thank you for the opportunity to come into your listening ears. And I ask that you will continue to pray for us that we will grow in the things of God. Have a blessed and wonderful Sunday.